welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4. "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, then he be pleased him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." For more information about being a good soldier, please read chapter 14 on becoming a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph C. Hedgecock. You were sent here by God with a mission. To complete that mission, you need to become a soldier. You do not need to know the plan. If you're a good soldier who follows orders, you will get the final instructions when you're ready. Communicate with God. Find out what you can do daily. Timothy was told to keep in shape spiritually for the race that was set before him. This included some physical exercise, but it was mainly obedience to the Holy Spirit. Paul had already said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 to 13. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 8. "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Verse 9. "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." Verse 10. "For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe." Verse 11. "Those things command and teach." Verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Verse 13. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." The word godliness in Strong's is number 2150. From another word which means piety, specifically the gospel scheme, godliness, or holiness. Noah Webster in 1828 defined godliness as, number one, a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands, Christian obedience. Two, revelation, the system of Christianity. Physical discipline alone cannot transform you into a soldier of Jesus Christ. But through denying yourself and taking up your cross daily, you can access the power of God so you do not have to serve the devil. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, godliness is defined as spiritual training. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 10 to 13, spiritual exercise includes the following. 1. Laboring and keeping God's commands out of love. 2. Suffering reproach for doing what is good and not reacting. Number 3. The regular reading of Scripture. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says, "Take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him." Not everyone is on the front line, but Timothy had to be a first-class soldier for the sake of those getting entangled in worldly affairs. He had to be an example and help them get in shape spiritually. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 14 to 21. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 14. "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." Verse 15. "Lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name." Verse 16. "I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other." Verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The Corinthians, who were carnal, were not even ready for baptism. Paul could only baptize two people apart from one family that were actively following Christ in a large congregation. Paul was preaching the cross and complete submission to the Father's will, and this was not popular. Jesus said in Luke 9, verses 23 to 26, I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 23. "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Verse 24. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25. "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway?" Verse 26. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Many believe a lie that you can be saved without following Christ, but then wake up when it's too late to do anything about it. Even if you want to get on the narrow way, personally, this is considered extreme or unnecessary by those ashamed of Jesus' teaching. Paul said in Romans 11 and verse 22, this is in the book of Romans, chapter 11, and read verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Every believer can now live free from the devil in this world by following Christ, using the gift of eternal life. This is the goodness of God. To follow Christ, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Do this by spending quality time in the morning seeking his commands. As you get his orders, be faithful in whatever small task God gives you each day. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and reading verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Verse 6. "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." You have been put in Christ far above this world in the kingdom of heaven. You will be corrected and chastened as you abide because his perfect will is being done in heaven. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. By going back to the flesh, you come out of Christ. When that happens, he has not forsaken you, but you have forsaken him to pursue the lusts of your flesh. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 15 to 18. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest taken them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. His disciples were not of this world because they were following Jesus. If you are not following Christ, you are of this world still. Jesus prayed and asked the Father to keep his disciples from pure evil and sanctify them with truth. Believers that get in the flesh open the door to evil every day when they resist conviction and correction. Be warned, God's protection and promises have conditions. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. But as God is true, and our word towards you was not yea and nay, verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Paul had to bring a correction, but wanted the Corinthians to know that even the worst offender can be forgiven and make a fresh start. The new life in Christ starts with deep repentance from listening to a wrong voice. God requires repentance from lies you believed to justify living in darkness. If you are in the flesh serving two masters, the devil can easily distract and control you, just like an unbeliever. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm starting in verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Verse 14. Let all your things be done with love. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Acacia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. Verse 17. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Acacius, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. Verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul was rejoicing that God was using his mission-minded disciples like Stephanas, who he baptized, to help the Corinthians become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. If you're not working on your calling, then you will not be chosen. We read in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Verse 4, then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse 5, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Three disciples experienced the kingdom of heaven with Jesus on a high mountain. The mission of Elijah and Moses had to be delayed until the tribulation. And Jesus spoke to them. Everyone was told that Jesus is the Son of God at that time, and to follow his instructions. The Jews only saw the kingdom coming through the keeping of the law. Jesus' plan of salvation was a military secret, so well hidden that even the devil did not know about it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The devil is the god of this world, and used the Jews and the Romans to give Christ the most cursed death. The devil thought he had won when Christ died, but was defeated at the cross himself. Jesus' death gave mankind an opportunity for salvation by grace through faith, apart from the law, and this included the Gentiles. This was a military victory that made a fool out of the devil, and he's been angry ever since. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. This is Revelation chapter 12, I'm reading verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. The devil is doomed and has to prevent the true gospel spreading. Those obeying the Holy Spirit are a threat to the kingdom of darkness and will find themselves in a battle. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I'm reading Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When you are a first-class soldier of Jesus Christ, others will see that there is no excuse for not doing what God directs. They will see you by grace asking God what to do when you are tempted to complain, murmur, or argue. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you obey God's commands consistently, you will grow up and do the same works that Jesus did and destroy the works of the devil. Begin by removing the lies that you believe to be the truth. The lies that cause you to sin separate you from God and also separate you from his provision. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek daily to do what he says, the way he says, and he will provide. The devil is afraid of anyone following Christ with God's orders and getting daily provisions as a soldier on the front line. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You might get angry when the devil defeats you openly, but this is better than being asleep. Every time you believe a lie and make an excuse for sin, you give the devil the victory without a fight. There is a war going on that would be over by now if Jesus was not in control. By making excuses for sin, you are making it easy for the devil the next time to use the same excuses again. The devil is using propaganda and lies to keep the church comfortable and win without a fight. Start by submitting yourselves to God. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 7. This is in the book of James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You may be outnumbered and have a task to do without any resources and surrounded by other born-again believers shooting you in the back for being so passionate about being a soldier of Jesus Christ. God does not expect you to do the work. God has the plan, so do not try to figure it out yourself and make things worse. Everything works by faith and patient endurance. All your help comes through the communication system as a soldier. You don't mind losing other things, but not your phone. Through the phone comes your backup, provision. You also get to know about all the things that the enemy is doing. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. It's impossible to lose the war or perish if you're hearing his voice and getting to know him with the gift of eternal life. Make sure you have faith in what God said with all his instructions. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus proved faith in God works and overcame the devil not with great power, calling down angels, but by listening to the Holy Spirit. Jesus came in the flesh and was like us in every way and never sinned because he never consulted his own will. You can also deny yourself and take up your cross too, since you're born again, have a new nature, and receive the Holy Spirit. The devil will try and distract and appeal to the lust of your flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You may be in a situation that looks like an opportunity from God has come and gone. At that point, cry out to God, and he can provide a solution and give you the victory. You'll have a wonderful testimony. Later, ask God more questions about how you ended up in an unnecessary crisis, and make sure you were not listening to your own mind in the trap of the enemy. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You might find out through a trial that you love God, but it's not your first love. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is in charge, and the devil cannot do anything against a properly operating church with godliness and a solid system of clear communication. God allowed the cross and his Son to die for the sake of the whole world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 8. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 5:5 says, Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. The cross is foolishness to man. The carnal nature prefers a method and doesn't want to hear that you win this war with gentleness and meekness. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 36. As it is written, For thy sake we are called all the day long. We are encountered as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God can give you a first-round knockout when you do not help him. Learn to be humble, trust in the Lord, and do not think about your own lives. The devil has been defeated many times in history by those ready to endure and do not care about their own well-being, listening, trusting, and obeying. Jesus was referring to his own teaching and said this in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those calling Jesus Lord when he comes back for his bride will be left behind and wake up in the tribulation. They will go through a real breaking. A multitude left behind will humble themselves and quickly learn obedience to the Spirit in all things, and not lean to their understanding again. We read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, I'm starting verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Verse 11. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. Verse 12. Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, They are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Verse 16. and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Many will suffer hunger, thirst, and be left outside in the heat during the tribulation, but not deny the Lord. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In every generation, those who trust the Lord will not be overcome. They will complete their mission and give the good confession that Jesus is Lord as part of their calling. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 25, I'm reading Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. The underground church in many countries today is living like soldiers because they have no choice. When persecution starts, everyone has to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. James said in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the Message Bible, James 1, 5-8 says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think that you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. The Jews following Jesus had lost their comfortable lives in Jerusalem because they gave the good confession that Jesus is the Messiah. They had been using natural wisdom and now they had to face trials with patience and godly wisdom. They had to believe and not doubt. You may believe something with your mind, but have you removed the doubts in your heart based on lies that slip out later as a second thought? Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. In the book The Guilty Prison, revised edition, in chapter 14, on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ, on page 121, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Paul explained the basis of being a soldier of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2. I suggest you spend some time studying this chapter. He taught Timothy what he had learned from God. He also admonished Timothy to find faithful believers to train so that they could then train others. You must be trained by the Holy Spirit to become a successful soldier. The more you cooperate with his preparation by embracing conviction and change, the faster you'll be trained. If you continue to struggle with satanic accesses and sin, you're not ready to fight the enemy on the front lines. You cannot destroy Satan's works in others if you're not allowed God to destroy them in you. Paul wrote his last letter to a young man that he was training. Paul had other disciples, but we don't know what happened to them. It's possible they had to give their lives already for the gospel. Now Timothy was in charge, and Paul explained what to say to everyone. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Even though Paul was not preaching a gospel of Gentile origin, he was hunted by religious Jews opposed to the truth. Paul reminded Timothy that he was not in prison for doing anything wrong. He was in a battle, and God was using his circumstance to show others that the gospel is not hindered. Paul did not want anyone to get a wrong impression about the way he depended on the Lord daily. Paul was strong in the grace up to the end of his life. If you need to overcome a hindrance to obey him, he will help you with that by faith. With God's grace, you can do anything. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6. And whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Those abiding in Christ do not sin. You have first got to get in the flesh before you can sin. Those serving sin do not know Jesus. Those in right standing with God who listen and obey do what is right. The devil cannot make you sin. Christ came to give you a choice and prove that he did not sin or serve the devil, and overcame the cross by asking God everything. You were given a new nature so that you could grow up spiritually all that is happening on this earth right now is for the sake of the last few Gentiles, to give them the best experience of his supernatural provision through hearing his voice consistently. Those who learn to trust God will pass through many difficulties but establish him as Lord. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Under the pressure in these last days, you can still overcome the world and the lust of the flesh. Stay humble, and you'll be strong in the grace. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Only those who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's a sign that you've reached a level of maturity as a soldier. Church people are afraid of persecution, but that is because they have been too comfortable for too long. The devil is preparing for a final battle with Jesus at Armageddon and needs soldiers who will do what he says. Those who are afraid of losing their comfortable lives or something in this world would serve Satan and join his army. Hitler was able to gather many loyal subjects after the First World War by appealing to their earthly dreams and desires in this world to serve him. The devil will try to convince you that you are better off being lord of your own life and making all the decisions yourself so that you can have what you want when you want. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Those not blinded by the devil's propaganda, through fear or the cares of the world, listening to a wrong voice, already serving God. God can win the war with a few soldiers or with many. The grace is increasing in the last days for his people to grow up quickly, be trained, and get an eternal reward for serving in his army. All you have to do is submit to the situations that God will use to get you ready. The kingdom of God is everywhere, so you submit where God has put you. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 25, this is in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, starting verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Verse 22, Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 23, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, But he that doth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. If you are not thinking like a soldier, then the devil is stealing your eternal rewards, and you're not becoming who God wants you to be. The devil does not want you to submit. The flesh will not submit to God, but God says submit and like it. David said in Psalms 51, verses 16 to 19. I'm reading in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, starting in verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Verse 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 19. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. All that you need is available in the kingdom of God. The only thing that is not provided is a willing, broken, contrite heart or spirit. He can do everything else when you are weak. God is calling you to serve. Look at your life and get rid of the things you don't need. You might say, I lack something, but I suggest you are listening to a wrong voice, looking for an excuse. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God has a volunteer army, and you have to enlist willingly. It's not based on your abilities, but on His. Humility is seeing your own inability to do anything, but also seeing His ability to do all things through you. If you do not enlist in His army, who is going to protect your home and family? Man's methods or tactics of this world do not work in the spiritual realm. God can give you the training you need now. Remember, Paul was a servant. He never had a day off. Even in prison, he was writing letters. If anyone would burn up or give up, it would have been Paul. He had enemies for preaching the truth, even in the church, because people did not like conviction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The word bold in Strong's is number 2292. It is another form of another word which means to exercise courage. Be bold. Extremely bold. Have confidence. Be confident. In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition, in chapter 14, on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ, on page 120, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "When you believe and obey the truth as revealed by the Holy Spirit, you escape from Satan's prisons. You can then help others be free as you share truth with them. Your main weapon against Satan is truth delivered in love." Paul was being rejected by the very people he was trying to help. Paul needed to be strong. He was ready to cast down imaginations, strongholds, anything exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Paul was not fighting leaders with words, but wrong motives and attitudes in the church. Paul let God fight through him. In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 6 says, "And now a personal but most urgent matter. I write in the gentle but firm spirit of Christ. I hear that I'm being painted as a cringing wishy-washy when I'm with you, but harsh and demanding when at a safe distance writing letters. Please don't force me to take a hard line when I'm present with you. Don't think that I'll hesitate a single minute to stand up to those who say I'm an unprincipled opportunist. Then they'll have to eat their words. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity." Paul was ready to do whatever the Holy Spirit wanted, but the church was childish and he did not want to expose the leaders in front of others. Paul was a well-equipped soldier because he learned what Christ did under pressure through the Spirit. He discovered that motive and attitude was important. If you want to compare yourself with somebody, compare yourself with Jesus Christ or someone following Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." Verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Joseph Hitchcock believed in getting people into the Father's lap and restoring their communication system with the Lord first. He never saw it as his responsibility to correct others except those he was training. He was willing to help everyone and share with them in the hope that the Holy Spirit would convict them. He believed that if they had a heart after God, they would go to God and for him to remove the differences and wrong doctrines in them. Even an apostle is still a servant in the kingdom of heaven and can only do what God tells them to do. Even if you see a need or a problem, you cannot do anything unless the Holy Spirit confirms it. Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 9 and 10. This is Luke 17. I'm starting verse 9. "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded to him? I think not." Verse 10. "So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." In my training, I saw how my authority was answering questions. It was then my task to compare what I would have said instead in response to the same question. When the crowd was dismissed, I could speak about it privately. The person who trained me was Joseph Hitchcock, and his answer, directed by the Spirit, gave more details, so the devil had no loophole to cause someone to doubt later unless they wanted to believe lies. Jesus said in John 8, verses 32 to 34. I'm reading in John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. The church is divided by doctrines built on lies. Those studying the word of God with their carnal minds, leading the church, are still sinning. If you want to know the truth, find something the Holy Spirit convicted you of first. Then remove the strongholds of the devil built using the lies you chose to believe to make it easier on your flesh and stop sinning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 8. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Verse 4. How will thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Joseph Hedgecott, who trained me, took 30 minutes, or nearly an hour, in some cases, answering the questions people asked. He was sharing personal revelation that came as a result of seeking truth himself. His answers ensured every person understood the root problem and who opened the door to the devil through unbelief and ignorance. The best weapon you have is truth, delivered in love, based on the grace and mercy you experience every time you are convicted. God is not hiding truth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm starting verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Demons are ministering spirits acting independently from God, unauthorized and a legal representative of the kingdom of darkness. Demons tell people what they want to hear and believe. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Anyone making decisions with their own mind will be used by the devil like a puppet for his purpose. You are not devil-free just because you are born again. The devil gets you to seek something before its time, so you get frustrated. Those things you need, God will give you at the right time when you are properly prepared. The devil gives you things you don't need or don't have the humility to handle. You get everything you need in the kingdom of God, but hold things lightly in this world. Otherwise, you may become entangled again. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Rejoice in the fact that you have limited possessions in this world, because you are in a contest of faith, to show the world how trusting God works. God cannot use the rich and the highly educated, because they're often using natural wisdom. So he promotes those in more humble circumstances to demonstrate godly wisdom instead. James said it in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. As a soldier in his army, he honors you for letting him use you. He can reward you now or later. If you go without temporal rewards now, then you will get them later, and for all eternity. If you are willing to remain in humble circumstances, God can continue to reveal himself through you in a special way. Do not seek something for yourself unless the Lord provides this specifically. There should be nothing in your house or home that you went out to get because you wanted it. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 16, and reading Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For if not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You get the victory by abiding in Christ and ceasing from your own labors, like God did from his. Stand fast and let Christ direct you what to do. If you get in the flesh, you will feed the flesh. You may feel tired and tempted to do something more in the flesh. The flesh is like a candida overgrowth or infection. You can eat sugar and you will feel some immediate relief, but the infection will spread. If you feed the flesh, you have to work harder next time because you have a big flesh and a small spirit man. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, So you, my son, be strong, strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. An area of ignorance in the church is how to relax. Many relax by doing what they want or please themselves and feed the flesh. In the kingdom, there is a time and a place for everything. There is a time for relaxation as a soldier of Jesus Christ, but you have to do it in the spirit too. you can relax and still be serving. That does not make sense in the natural, but in the kingdom, everyone serving is having fun. In Christ, you get energy from serving. God is no man's debtor. People believe you will burn up serving God, but not in Christ because of God's grace. When you serve your own needs, that's when you get tired. Even on holiday, deny yourself, because that's what Jesus said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The knowledge and instructions God provides is so everyone can abide in Christ through the precious promises. Everyone can live the victorious life and overcome this world by faith. Those walking in the truth, God shows them, are getting ready. They are not perfect, but they're up to date and prepared. They are doing things spiritually. This will be in areas where you have repented already and are producing the fruit of the Spirit as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I suggest you get up early before the day starts and listen to God. Make sure you're in the Spirit and seek Him and make any changes based on what God is showing you. The knowledge of God will include notes for repentance. If you want ears to hear what you need to know now. The devil can easily control those who are separated from God through sin. When the darkness increases, it separates those who trust in Him from those who are deceiving themselves with just natural discernment. Everything we need is available without ever coming out of Christ. As soon as you let the flesh control you, then you will come out, because this is not trusting God. God then resists you doing anything from the carnal nature because He loves you. If you are convicted, you have not necessarily come out unless you resist or ignore that conviction. I recommend you set up a notebook with a sin list and work on getting to the root of sin. For everyone to be set free, they have to love the truth and endure correction. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, built on lies, by giving us another operating system so that we could ask God everything and get to the truth. Only by keeping the commands of Jesus and doing something pure can we stay devil-free. There is no good in us. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. This is Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The devil will appeal to the lust of the flesh and use a fear of losing something for following Christ. If you listen to lies, it's because you accepted the devil's version of life and freedom. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Spiritual Maturity, on page 9, Joseph Edgecott writes, I consistently obeyed Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was Paul's focus, that was my focus. If you want to become spiritually mature, it must be your focus. My flesh weakened to the point that it no longer had the power to stop me from obeying the Lord. It did not slow me down. Then finally, it had no place in me. I was able to walk in kingdom principles and grow up in the Lord. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I spend very little time in the flesh. If I make a mistake, I repent quickly. I ask the Lord to show me how Satan and my flesh were able to lead me astray. I ask for divine revelation about how to keep from making that mistake again. I do not want my flesh to have any power over me, so I maintain the attitude that my flesh is the enemy. Timothy saw how God provided solutions, but not without some endurance, and was told to share this with the church in Corinth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 to verse 17. This is 1 Corinthians 4, I'm starting verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, and being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, in 1 Corinthians 4:17, says, For this cause I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, who will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and course of conduct and way of life in Christ, such as I teach everywhere in each of the churches. The church in Corinth was focusing on the gifts of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Spirit. Paul called the leaders instructors in Christ, not teachers, because they showed no signs of overcoming sin. Paul instructed Timothy to share how he was able to stay humble and use the wisdom of God to overcome without ever getting in the flesh on the narrow way. The Corinthians were quite happy to use their own minds and saw Paul's lifestyle of pressure on the narrow way as unnecessary. Paul had to warn them because of that attitude. You grow through repentance. Spiritual learning starts with conviction. Abundance of godly wisdom is given to those who make no excuses for obeying the Holy Spirit on the narrow way and are ready to suffer for doing His perfect will. Peter was speaking to the young converts in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Peter 5:10 says, And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Refuse to do any dead works out of fear or anything to meet your own personal needs from the carnal nature. Going back to flesh destroys the foundation God is putting in you. Doing dead works again puts down a fresh root for the flesh. From being steadfast in the faith, you will, number one, become complete and remove any fear of suffering. Number two, be more established in your faith and feel protected. Number three, be strengthened through resisting the flesh. Number four, be more settled in how the Lordship of Christ functions. Jesus told us to be aware of false prophets promising earthly gain controlled by demonic spirits. People are drawn to a form of Christianity that allows them to serve two masters. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 to 15. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15. Therefore it's no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In the book The Guilty Prison, revised edition, in chapter 14, on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ, on page 121, Joseph Hedgecott writes, a common tactic Satan uses against committed Christians is an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. His deceptions lead you astray with good ideas when you do not ask the Lord what to do. If you use natural reasoning to make good decisions, you're in the flesh, just as you are when you make evil choices. Even though you're a soldier, Satan may try to influence you when you go through testings, fatigue, illness, or weakness. He may provide excuses to satisfy your flesh when you're in need. Instead of asking the Lord what to do, you listen to Satan's justifications and do what is comforting to your flesh. It's important to be especially sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you go through difficulties. When natural circumstances seem overwhelming, this is often when Satan works to defeat the soldiers in God's army. God's grace is there for you now to learn a new way of life, where you make no provision for the flesh. Led by the Spirit, you should fulfill the law easily. Work out your own salvation in all areas and look for anything that hinders your ability to hear God clearly. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom from regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecott. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attend church are on that broad road. If you know you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecott. Today I've been sharing a message about becoming a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful privilege that you have. Jesus has gone before us. He has shown us the way. He came in the flesh. He showed us how, by obeying the Father took care of him. He is the one with the plan. He is the one who knows what eternal rewards are at stake. There are things I can have in this life that will cost me in eternity. And you have to make a choice to trust him with those things. You cannot work them out with your natural mind. And today you have an offer. You've heard a message. And some of the scriptures you've heard, I hope they've prepared your mind, prepared your heart to become a mature, first-class soldier of Jesus Christ. I hope that the Holy Spirit has stirred in your hearts. And I'm praying for you right now that you will accept that call to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray in heaven that those who are listening to this message right now, that you move on them as they have responded to the conviction that's come through this message. You know that everything in here was what you wanted them to hear. In Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.